6. We read it in connection with Lord's Day 32 and the calling to do good works in gratitude to God. The psalmist is going to talk about that. He speaks of how Israel often did not do that in their history. He's going to speak of how he's going to speak a prayer asking that God would work in them to do good things, to do what is pleasing to Him in thankfulness to Him. Psalm 106, we begin at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went pouring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So far do we read God's Word. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the instruction, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32. Lord's Day 32. Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings, and that He may be praised by us. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means, for the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. What is the purpose of doing good works? Good works are actions done in obedience to God and to God's glory. Good works include obeying God's commandments, which are going to be described in Lord's Days 34 through 44. Good works include prayer, which is going to be described in Lord's Days 45 through 52. That's what the third section tells us about. Good works. Now the question here is, what's the purpose of doing them? We learn from the first two sections of the Catechism that we are sinners that cannot save ourselves. We can be, and we are saved only based on the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. We're saved in Christ alone, apart from our works. So the question, after hearing all of that wonderful truth, the question at the beginning of the third section is then, why must we do good works? They're commanded in Scripture again and again. Why must we do them? It's an important question. It's an important question to consider tonight. Some today hear about Christ and they make no commitment to turn from sin. They say, I see that I sin and I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. But in their life, they go forward living in unrepentant sin, not really caring, living in worldliness. They don't really think either that you have to do good works. And when you bring up the sinful lifestyle they're living in, they say, well, what do you think? That we're not saved by grace? Is it really up to me then? Do you deny salvation by grace? Now, we might not say it exactly like that, but we can act in a similar manner to that. We hear about Christ and what He's done, and we can think in the back of our mind, well, it's really not such a big deal that I do this sin and I do that sin and I even keep doing it. It's not so bad. It's a pretty minor thing, really, and I've got Christ. Won't affect anything in the end. I think we can relate to those thoughts. So the question we consider is very important. Why must we do good works? Answer 86 gives the answer. The answer is this. We must do them to give thanks to God. That's why. Give thanks to the God of our salvation. And the answer also talks about two important results that we will look at as well. And as we look at the purpose of doing good works and these important results of good works, may we be encouraged and strengthened tonight to do them. That strengthening is so important. It's so important for us because we live in the midst of a wicked world. We each have a sinful nature. We need that strengthening. May God bless us tonight through the Word. Let's consider the text under the theme, performing good works. Performing good works. First, the great power. Second, the high purpose. And third, the blessed results. Performing good works, we begin with the great power. We consider first that great power because that's going to help us understand too the purpose of doing good works. As we look at the great power, may we be moved then to do good works in thankfulness for that great power of God that He works in us. The power behind good works is not man. Some think that the power behind good works is man, or at least partly man. There are many today that believe in what is called free will. They believe that's the truth, that man has a free will. And it's not just something way out there. That's something we really deal with here too. In our interactions with others here in this town and even at our high school, I've been asked multiple times by students in my 6 years here about free will, because someone at school brought this up and they think that this is right. What is the way to think about this free will? So understand, this is a real thing. The idea of free will, though, is this. It's that natural man chooses to obey God or not to obey Him. He can choose to obey or not obey. Natural man, when we talk about that, we're referring to man as he is of himself. That is, without the Holy Spirit living in him. That's natural man. Man as he is of himself. Some say that natural man can choose to obey God or not to obey God. That's the idea of free will. And so, when man does good, man is the power behind that good that he does. He has a free will. He can choose and he has chosen to do good, something that pleases God. That's free will. Now understand, some who advocate for free will also speak of God's grace. But they say that man, by his free will, must cooperate with God's grace. So man is partially tainted by sin. But man, only partially tainted, he can work with God to do good. We need Christ's power, they say, but man is also partly the power behind his good works. He's only partially tainted. He's got to come together with God and then he will produce them. While the teaching that man is the power behind good works, or even partly the power behind good works, is false, because Scripture does not teach that man has a free will. Scripture says that natural man is actually a slave to sin and is dead in sin. I'll repeat that. Scripture does not say natural man has a free will. It says natural man, man without the Spirit, is dead in sin and a slave to sin. That's the Bible's teaching. Romans 6, maybe turn there so you can see it, understand it, why free will doesn't work. Romans 6, verse 17. Paul teaches there that natural man is in bondage to sin. He says to the church in Rome, Romans 6, verse 17, he says, "Ye were the servants of sin." Servants of sin literally means slaves of sin in the original language. Slaves of sin. Think about that. As a slave is ruled by his master, natural man is ruled by sin. That means sin is all he wants to do and all he can do. He's ruled by it. Man cannot do anything to God's glory than by nature. That's why question and answer 8 of the Heidelberg Catechism says that man is wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness. He never does anything to the glory of God. By himself, he's a slave to sin. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5 give us another picture that makes it clear man does not have a free will. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5 say that natural man is dead in sin. Dead in sin by nature. That's quite a picture when you think about it, because somebody who is dead obviously cannot move. All the idea is someone who is dead in sin cannot move towards God in faith or obedience. They're dead! That's why one of the 5 points of Calvinism is total depravity. Total depravity. Depravity means corruption. Total depravity is the idea that natural man is corrupt in every part. Full of sin, full of corruption in every part. Total depravity. Our heart, mind, will, completely full of sin, never seeks the glory of God. So, when you understand that, man as a slave to sin, dead in sin, you see that natural man cannot do good works. We cannot do good works in our own power. Can't happen. We can't even cooperate with God or partly empower ourselves to do good works. We don't want anything to do with them by nature. Why is it like that? Why are we so sinful by nature? It goes back to our guilt in Adam. God created the first man, Adam, good, but Adam fell into sin in the garden and became guilty. Guilt is the legal state of a man who has done wrong and is thus liable to temporal and eternal punishment. Because Adam sinned, he became guilty before God and deserving of punishment. The punishment of death. His punishment was that he became dead in sin, enslaved to it. Now that sin and that consequence affected us. Affected us according to Romans 5 verse 12. We are guilty in Adam because we all sinned when he sinned in the garden. He was our representative head, so when he ate the forbidden fruit, so did we. God imputed that sin of Adam to our legal account so that we are guilty before God of ourselves. Being guilty before God, we have to be punished with this slavery to sin and being dead in sin. We cannot empower ourselves to do good works. We are not the source of them. And that brings us to our glorious God. We look at all that so that we can see how great He is. How great He is to me. May it be very personal. God works in us to do good works. Psalm 106 really teaches that at the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 106, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist prays, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." So if you look at Psalm 106, verse 4, the psalmist asks God to visit him with his salvation. Psalmist, when he says, "Visit me, O Lord," he's saying, "Attend to me." That's what it literally means. Attend to me and work salvation in me. Then he explains what that means further. He says, "O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." To glory is to praise. He's asking that God would visit him, work salvation in him, so that he praises God with his people. But the psalmist is asking God to visit him and work in him to praise God with his people. Shows that the psalmist sees he's not the source of good works. He can't empower himself to do it. He needs God's power. He needs God to strengthen him. God empowers men to do good works. That's why the prayer right here in Psalm 106 is made. He needs God. Now the Catechism teaches exactly how God empowers His people to do good works. And it's amazing to think about the way God does it. Answer 86 starts by talking about how Jesus has redeemed and delivered us by His blood. He has redeemed and delivered us by His blood. So the Catechism, when it's explaining how God works in us to do good works, starts at the cross. Starts at the cross. To redeem, the word used in the Catechism, to redeem is to free someone from slavery based on a payment. The psalmist was redeemed from slavery to sin based on a coming payment. A coming payment of Christ. Christ was going to pay for His people Israel's sins at the cross so that their guilt was removed. And when their guilt, or based on that removal of guilt, they could then be set free and strengthened to serve the Lord. You see, as we've said, if one's guilty, he has to remain in the chains to sin and death, has to remain in that prison. But if one's sins are paid for and that guilt is gone, then he has the right to be freed from those chains and strengthened to serve the Lord. Based on that coming payment of Jesus Christ, God freed the psalmist from the chains to sin and death. He strengthened that psalmist to praise Him so that he begins in Psalm 106 with those words, "Praise ye the Lord." That's what he wants. God visited him. What a wonder that is too. You think about God visiting that psalmist right in his heart based on the work of Christ and His payment at the cross. And now, based on the payment that Christ made at the cross, God visits us too. And He frees us from those chains to sin and death. He frees us from slavery to sin. Gives us life. Question and answer 86 explains exactly how He does that. So the answer, you notice, starts with the cross. There had to be the death at the cross for us to be freed from these chains to sin. And then, answer 86, after talking about the cross, says He also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image. Renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image. Amazing, because we were created in such a way that we had God's image. Man looked like God spiritually. And the New Testament in Ephesians 4 verse 24 and Colossians 3 verse 10 tells us that to look like God spiritually, to have His image, means you have true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. We had that. But when we sinned in Adam, we lost that image. Now that Christ renews us after His image means that He strengthens us, He invigorates us so that we are changed into God's image more and more during our life. This renewal is a long process that begins with regeneration. So we, by nature, are dead. The first thing in this process of renewal is that the Spirit comes and regenerates us, implanting spiritual life in our hearts. So we who are dead now have life and are able to serve God and want to. That's just the beginning. That renewal process continues. Christ strengthens us, invigorates us day by day so that we are brought to look like God more and more, so that we grow in knowledge, grow in righteousness, grow in holiness. Christ is doing that work of renewing by His Spirit even today, so that through His Word we're growing in knowledge, growing in righteousness, growing in holiness, to look like our God in a spiritual, creaturely way. That image is never complete in this life, but there is a good beginning in God's children. So, how does God do this? How does He empower us to do good works? It starts at the cross. It's based on that work. Now, based on that legal work Christ has done, He's now renewing us inside to look like our God spiritually, to serve Him, to love Him, praise Him. What a God we have. The purpose of us doing good works now, the purpose of us doing these good works is that we give thanks and praise to this great God. That's the purpose. We get that from question and answer 86 and from Psalm 106. We'll start with question and answer 86. It says, why must we still do good works? And then the answer, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings, and that He may be praised by us. Gratitude and praise. And that truth, that we do good works to praise and thank God, is based on a passage like Psalm 106. Follow the logic of this psalm that we read. Psalm 106. In verse 6, if you look at it, the psalmist says there, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. He then goes on to explain the ways that Israel had done wickedly. The worshiping of idols, the discontentment, the envy they had of Moses and Aaron. He speaks of their many sins that we read about. Sins that we certainly know about ourselves. He talks about the sins he and Israel were guilty of. And then in the verses that follow, he talks about the troubles that God sent them. Troubles like captivity, verse 46. Then in verse 47, listen close. This is the important verse of the psalm. In verse 47, he then says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. The psalmist asks God to save Israel from captivity, but also from their sins. Why? Why does he cry out for this salvation? So that we might give thanks unto thy holy name and triumph in thy praise. To give thanks unto God's holy name is psalmist's idea there is that you put away the sins that he just wrote about. You put away that idolatry. You put away that discontent. You put away those sins and instead do good works. In gratitude. Worshipping God. In gratitude. Doing these things, they'd be pointing to God. They'd be throwing their hands to the Lord, thanking Him for salvation. So that's the idea of the psalm. The psalmist asks God to save Israel so that they give thanks to Him with good works. putting away sin. It's got to be applied to us. Question and answer 86 says that we must do good works to God in gratitude for His blessings. It speaks of gratitude for His blessings in answer 86. So let's consider the blessings that God has given us. If we are to do works in gratitude for His blessings, we have to know what the blessings are. And remember them this week and every week. Take time to meditate on them. First, there's this blessing. Comes out right away in answer 86 too. The blessing of our being delivered from our guilt and being credited with the righteousness of Christ. What a blessing that is. So guilty I am. Makes me worthy of hell. And I have imputed to me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Christ took away our sins. And not just that, He now visits us within. Second blessing. Guilt's taken away, that's the legal side. Wonderful. Now this too, He visits me within, delivering me, strengthening me to serve Him. Those who are guilty sinners, they have to be left dead in their sins. So that's all they do. They walk in the ways of the world, the miserable ways of the world. They continue in it forever. Terrible sins. But Christ has taken away our sin and He now renews us so that we want to praise Him. We want to follow His Word. We want to live more and more showing forth His image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. So, guilt's gone. Christ renewing us within, working in us. Third blessing, He gives us such gladness. That's coming out in the psalm, the psalms, the psalmist's gladness too, when he at the beginning summarizes the whole thing, God's salvation, says, praise the Lord. He's glad in the Lord. That's what we are. Because we've been given salvation. So that even as we face many difficult trials, there may be tears that come, but there's still a gladness knowing our salvation in Christ, knowing our believing loved one's salvation in Christ, a gladness that is such a wonderful blessing. And a true gladness that lasts forever, because that's the fourth blessing we talk about tonight. We're given heaven. What we deserve for even one sin we commit is the opposite. Hell, torment there in body and soul forever, but we're given heaven. I, such a sinner, given that in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. As question and answer 86 now says, now do good works to give thanks and praise to God for His blessings. That's the reason to do good works. Question and answer 86 adds two more things in answer to the question, why must we do good works? It says we must do good works that also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. But those two things that come at the end of answer 86 are more the results of doing good works. The reason to do good works is to give thanks and praise for God's blessings. We understand that good works would praise God. Good works are actions done in His service, in obedience to Him. So they praise Him, they glorify Him. While one is praising God with good works, he's also thanking God. When one's obeying God, doing things in His service, we understand how that would be showing thanks, gratitude to the Lord. That's true in our everyday life, kids. When you listen to your parents, you're showing thanks to them for what they've given to you. Well, on a much higher scale, when we obey the Lord, we are showing thanks to Him. So this week, keep in mind the many blessings God has given to you. Take time to meditate upon them. And then, do good works in gratitude for that. Now, arising out of Psalm 106 are specific good works we must do to thank and praise God. Specific good works we must do. First, we must put away idolatry, the psalm shows, and worship God alone. Put away idolatry and worship God alone in thankfulness. Verses 19 to 21 speak of Israel worshiping the golden calf. Verse 28 talks about worshiping Baal. Verses 36 through 38 speak of Israel sacrificing unto the idols of Canaan, even sacrificing their children to those idols. Now the idea of the psalm then is that the Israelites, by worshiping these idols, they were sinning. And they were to turn and worship their God. That's why the psalm begins by saying, "Praise ye the Lord." That's what we are to do too in gratitude. Put away the idols, worship God. And that has to be talked about so often because we so quickly, so easily fall into idolatry. Maybe not the same idols they did, but the idol god of self. So that I go and I work really hard, or I do this or that in the game, in sports, or at my job, or I do this or that for somebody in church so that I get some recognition, so that I get some praise. We so easily fall into that. Maybe your God is a certain thing you're so focused on getting that you're not really even able to focus on God in church or even have personal devotions every day because you're so focused on getting this or that thing. That's where your life revolves around. I think we all know what that's like. So consider this week what your idols are. Put them away. And instead put God above all. Put away idols, worship God in gratitude. And included in that is that we would come here to worship God publicly in gratitude. That's a good work that comes right out of the psalm too. Worshiping God publicly with His people on the Lord's Day. In verse 1, the psalmist commands Israel, saying, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 48 says, "Blessed be the Lord God from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say Amen. Praise ye the Lord." Verse 12 talks about the people singing praises together. This psalm, along with so many others, commands God's people to worship together. Praise ye the Lord, not thou the Lord, ye the Lord, over and over again. The idea being the people are to come together to worship. Coming to church isn't just about hearing the sermon then. It's not just about what I get out of the sermon. That's really not what it's about. It's part of our worship. But we are to come here to praise God in every element of the worship service. The singing, the praying, reading of Scripture, giving of collection, all of that is part of the worship we are to do in gratitude to God for our salvation. So come here each Sunday to do that. Come here to bless the Lord together. Second, regarding good works that come right out of this psalm, good works we are called to do in gratitude, is the good work of being content. Contentment. The Israelites fell into discontent, according to this psalm, often in history. Verse 16 says, "One time they fell into discontent is that they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord." Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, what happened is they became discontented with Moses' leadership. They envied his position. They and others of the Israelites thought that they should be the ones in power. They were jealous. Verse 25 speaks of more discontent, saying about the Israelites in the wilderness, says, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. So they were complaining more about Moses and the enemies that they had to face in the land of Canaan. Murmuring, complaining. We can be the same way. See that tonight. We see the positions that others have at work, that others have at school maybe, others have at church, and we can become jealous. Those positions are positions God has clearly not been pleased to give us at this time. We can become jealous and even talk badly about them, how they don't know what they're doing, this and that. Be very similar to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We can become jealous or discontent about so many things. Jealous about how many things God has given to somebody else. Jealous about their looks, their body type. Jealous about the vacations that they get to go on, maybe, that you don't. Jealous about their house, kids. Jealous about their toys. Discontented. As Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, be content with such things as ye have, and do so in gratitude to God. Be content. Say to yourself, I don't need this thing that God has clearly been pleased not to give me. He knows what's best. Say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be content in gratitude to God, satisfied with what He gives to us. Third, the psalm refers to the good work of separating from the world, its wickedness. Verse 35 says about Israel, says they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Verse 35, mingled among the heathen. They didn't spiritually separate from the heathen around them. And what ended up happening is they started to worship their idols, and that included lots of immorality and included much sexual sin. They were not separating from the world and its sins. We can easily do the same. Many shows, movies, songs today, many, many of them take the name of the Lord in vain. Many, many of them show sexual sin and even glorify it in a certain way, making it look fun and exciting. They tell sexual jokes. They even show the disobedience and dishonor to authority as being something funny. They portray it that way, at least. When we watch those things that portray sin in those ways, we are mingling with the world. And that's all there is to it. We like to make many excuses about it, but that's what it is. It's mingling with the world. But when we hang around with those who are walking in a wrong way, we're mingling with the world as well. Even if that person does go to church, if they're walking in a way of sin, we are joining in the world's sins when we hang around with them. A good work, according to this passage, is not to do that, to separate from the world and its sins and join with fellow lovers of Jesus Christ. Do that in gratitude. That takes much discernment. Takes open and honest evaluation of what you're doing with your entertainment. But that's our calling this week. Separate from the world and its sins in gratitude. Ask yourself in preparation for the Lord's Supper this week, am I doing these things in gratitude to God? Am I seeking to do these good works in thankfulness for the many blessings that are mine in Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says that we must examine ourselves before coming to the table. The Lord's Supper form that we read says we must examine ourselves based on 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. We must. Well, know what that means. That doesn't mean that you ask yourself, am I a child of God? We know we are children of God by faith. We know we're children of God based on Christ's work. We are believers by God's grace, and that's why we have something to examine. If you're an unbeliever, you don't have anything to examine. So don't examine yourself. It's not our calling to examine ourselves by asking, am I a child of God? The actual question we are to ask in examining ourselves this week is, am I living as a child of God? There are three questions that the form brings up, or three parts to this examination. And in agreement with those three parts, we are to ask ourselves, am I sorrowing over my sins? Am I trusting in Jesus for salvation? Am I seeking to live a new and holy life? Those three questions. And really that last question, am I seeking to live a holy life, is really this, am I seeking to do good works in gratitude? That's the third question we are to be asking ourselves throughout this week. Am I seeking to do good works in gratitude? Am I seeking to worship not myself, but God? Am I coming regularly to public worship with His people on the Lord's Day? Am I living in contentment? Am I living in separation from the world? Am I doing good works in gratitude? Ask yourself that. We will see failures. Confess those sins, look to Christ, and turn and do those good works in gratitude to the Lord. Am I living as a child of God? Am I doing good works in gratitude? Ask that to yourself. Last, Lord's Day 32 speaks of two blessed results of doing good works. First, doing good works, we are assured of our faith. What a blessed result that is. We are assured of our faith. Question and answer 86 uses those words. It says that one who does good works is assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Faith is the bond by which we believers are united to Jesus Christ. The one who has faith brings forth fruit, meaning that he does good works. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, he teaches that all those who are joined to him by the bond of faith do good works. The verse says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So it's very clear, those who are joined to Jesus Christ by the bond of faith, they bring forth fruit in gratitude. They do good works. And thus, when we do good works, we know that we have faith. We would not do them if we were not connected to Jesus Christ by the bond of faith. So when we do good works in gratitude, that is evidence that we are united to Jesus Christ by the bond of faith. Good works are confirming evidence we have faith. what happens is, this is wonderful, the Holy Spirit, He's the one who gives us faith. He works in us to walk in God's ways, doing good works, and in that way, we are assured of our faith. The fact that we have it, assured of the fact we have faith. So what a blessed way is God's way of grateful living. Assured of my faith. That connection to Jesus Christ. A connection that never ends. Most wonderful connection there could be. On the other hand, those who do not do good works, they cannot be assured of their faith. So question and answer 87. The Catechism says, cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means, for the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a quotation right from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. The idea is those who continue not to do good works, those who continue in idolatry and covetousness or discontent, those who continue in worldliness, they are showing they do not have faith. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. They clearly are not connected to Jesus Christ. They cannot be assured of their faith. So be warned regarding that way of unrepentance. It's a miserable, it's a dark, it's a troubled way. By the Spirit's power, may we repent, believe, and do good works in thankfulness. And that way, the Spirit assures us of our faith. Second, and this is last, regarding the blessed results of doing good works, that it helps others. God uses good works for the salvation of others. Question and answer 86 says, by our godly conversation, it's at the very end, it says, by our godly conversation, that means by our godly conduct, others may be gained to Christ. That happened in the psalmist's life, that he was helping others spiritually with the good works that he did. So in this psalm, he's talking about praising the Lord, and he says at the beginning even, praise ye the Lord! He's calling the people to join him in praising God. Well, God used that to bring the Israelites to praise Him together. God uses that call to bring us to praise Him together tonight. This was a good work of the psalmist in calling the people to praise the Lord, and it served to the good of God's people. Well, God uses our good works for the salvation of others too. He uses our good works to build up fellow believers. Build them up in their faith. Build them up in godly living. So when you, and this includes you young people, when you come regularly to God's house, and you don't speak of it as a negative thing, but you talk about coming to the Lord's house every Sunday, that's such an encouragement to other believers here, also other believers in town, other believers at school. They hear that and they think, going to. When you young people, when you put away, and this includes adults too, but when you put away worldly entertainment, sinful entertainment, and you say, when everybody else is about to partake in that, you say, I don't think this is a good idea. Let's not do this. And you give the reason why. God uses that too to make them stop and think, yeah, it's not a right way to go. Encourages others too not to mingle with the ways of the world. Such an encouragement. I've seen it happen. It's a wonderful thing. So God uses our good works to help other believers in their faith and their godly living. But God also uses our good works to gain people to Christ. That is, to bring those who don't know Him to know Him and to love Him. When we truly do not live for ourselves, but we instead seek to serve God and seek to serve others in His church, and we live in contentment. Others notice that. Others at work notice that. When we're not always talking about how the boss this and the boss that is so bad, but show contentment and show respect. The other people at work do notice that. They do. They see that. And God may use that behavior to bring them to ask you about why you think that way, why you act that way. You may use that witness to lead them to repent and believe and look to Christ and worship Him. Kids, the same thing happens at school and work in your life. Others maybe don't know Christ yet. They know maybe a little bit about Him. They don't really know Him and aren't seeking to serve Him in their life, but they notice that you are really committed to going to church on the Lord's Day. That's where you're going to be. That's where you want to be. They see that you learn your catechism. That's a big deal to you. You want to get it right. And they see that you don't watch that show and you're not going to partake in that. God may use that witness too to lead them to Christ. Truly to know Him, serve Him along with you. It's a blessed thing. Truly blessed. So take each time, each day this week to think upon God's blessings. Seek to do these good works in thankfulness to God's praise and the edification of one another. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we are thankful to Thee for the gift of salvation. May we show that thanks this week in doing good works. Lord, strengthen us. Thou art the power behind those works. We need Thy strength. And Lord, use those works for the good of others around us too, that they may be built up or gained to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.